a leak patch, St. Pat's, investing tax, weird timings, terrible rhymings, and Effenberg for 37k. All that on this week's Foot Weekly. Hello and welcome to week 27 of Foot Weekly. I'm Ben, and normally I'd be here with Horace, but unfortunately he can't make this week. The other person who unfortunately can't do this week is Foothead Dan, so thank you to everyone who sent in questions on Twitter. We'll get round to them for sure next week. Really interesting stuff, and I'm looking forward to chatting to him properly and getting all his thoughts. Obviously, if you've got any more questions, perfect, because you've got another week. And yeah, so obviously don't have two people, but we do of course have our favourite market connoisseur, if you will. Hello, Jamie.
Hey, what's up?
So how are you? What's going on?
I'm good. Nothing much. Just a early Thursday morning, getting ready to go to another day of class. So
nice, yeah. Nice. So let's get on with it. What has happened in the last week? Well, I mean, obviously the massive thing that happened was St. Patrick's Day. What were your thoughts on that overall as an event?
Yeah, I mean, so initially when I saw, you know, obviously the hype up leading up to it was all exciting. And it was actually pretty exciting when they first released the SBCs because they look like whoppers. I mean, there's the three tiers of them, and the promise of the coin exchange there could have been pretty exciting for a lot of people. And I think, I mean, I for one thought that it was going to, you know, affect the market significantly, and that we're going to see a pretty steep nosedive because, you know, just naturally people are going to want to gamble. And if people think that it's worth gambling on these SBCs, or if they thought that it was going to be worth gambling on these SBCs, and you know, your sort of intuition would sort of suggest that EA aren't going to set up a situation where there's a greater chance of you actually earning coins overall on the SBC. So it would set up a situation where there would be a direct swap coins, where you're just trading in more value for less coin in return. And, you know, just long term, that could, if everyone did that and everyone just kept doing that, it would significantly take away buying power from the market, which could have led to a pretty steep drop in player prices. But I guess maybe this is a good thing. A couple of people, you know, a couple of big influencers on Twitter and on YouTube and on Twitch did the SBC pot of gold SBCs and weren't super successful. In fact, I think Castro pulled the minimum on all three of his. And just sort of said, like, all right, we're not doing an ad ever again. So
yeah, I mean, I did the first one, and pulled exactly 20k. And fortunately, I did it quite cheaply, but like, I lost 2k, and I was like, yeah, right, not gonna do it again.
Right.
So yeah, I just did the first one. So I think that, I imagine that probably happened to quite a few people, especially if, as you say, they'd seen on Twitter or wherever, on forums or whatever, however they're sort of getting their additional FIFA knowledge, that people had sort of got terrible rewards. As soon as you do the first one, you get like something average or worse or whatever, you're probably unlikely to do the second.
Right, yeah. I guess it's just another classic example of how, you know, market sentiment or something like this is going to greatly affect the, you know, we can make predictions all we want, but it's going to be the behavior of the actual people in the market that's going to decide whether or not prices are going to change. And in this case, prices didn't change. So we're hoping for...
And it was also interesting in that there were quite a few SBCs for Irish players, not just those pot of gold SBCs.
Right.
I mean, obviously they were for green players specifically, but you had the green card that you could get through the standard exchange of squad and get a special card SBC type. You'd have to submit Irish players to that, but there was also the Keane Legend SBC, which you had to submit Irish players for.
Right.
And there was, I believe there was another one, but I'm trying to remember what it was. Marquee matchups required Irish players as well.
Right, but, yeah. There was a lot of people that made a lot of points on their Irish investments.
I mean, I just had like every Irish player in my club, basically.
Yeah.
Well, not silvers, but all the gold players and a few of the silvers. And yeah, that made me like an easy 100k. It was like...
Good to be an investor.
Yeah, I think it was quite nice actually. Like it was nothing complicated. You don't just increase in prices of cheap players. Like a lot of the players I bought so long ago, they were like, it was like literally 350 coins to like 6k. It was
exactly
happy days.
Yeah.
So that's one to remember for next year, I suppose, as well. You know, I feel like it's likely they're going to do that again.
Right.
Just keep. Why not have your sort of club full of those Irish players?
Yeah. I'm actually really curious to see if people are going to price that in all year. Like for stuff like that, like since we are going into next year with this prior knowledge, you know, how good is the memory of the market going to be? Are Irish players going to be trading at a premium all year, or are they, you know, are they going to be built up in the hype like a month beforehand, sort of like it was this year?
I guess the way I see it with some of these things, though, is there's only a certain point at which a lot of people, especially with Weekend League now, that a lot of people feel they can free up coins to invest. Right. Do you know what I mean? So there's always going to be like that point. You don't know when it is, but like, when are people actually going to feel like, oh, now is the time to put my money in? Because if you're talking the first couple of months, like, why would you do that in a way, I suppose?
Mm-hmm.
You'd want to spend those coins. I mean, although actually saying that, obviously that's not going to be that many coins, is it? if they're like 350 coins, so maybe... Right. Maybe there is a bit of an argument that things could change a lot. Because I think this year, investments for Irish maybe didn't get picked up on quite so early. Because a lot of people, especially, were thinking, it's a completely different year. It's unlike, surely, are we going to have an Irish tournament? Are we going to, you know? Yeah.
There was also a pretty big disappointment last year. Like, in terms of promotion, just in general, people were pretty turned off by it. And a lot of people were thinking it was just going to be a softball. But, I mean, it wasn't. They brought the hype. But a lot of people were sort of scared off by it because of that.
Oh, yeah, we've lost each other.
Yeah, I think
so. What did you finish on there?
I just said a lot of people were scared off because of, last year.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, as I said, I went pretty safe with it and, was quite disappointed by last year as well, so that was probably the reason. So in terms of that, there was a weird kind of end to the SBC, some slightly odd timings from EA. Do you want to sort of say a bit more about that?
Yeah, so originally on their promotions, they said that the St. Patrick's Day promotion was going to end on the 20th. And that's what they said on their, you know, their images that they put out on Twitter and on other social media. So everyone sort of assumed that, you know, that's when the SBCs would end as well. But they were actually ending the 21st, which was, you know, strange. Maybe that was, you know, the theory was that maybe they were doing that so the market could get used to the green cards not being in packs. You know, maybe the green cards were going to go out of packs on the 20th, and then the SBCs would continue until the 21st so that there wouldn't be a dramatic shift in the prices of the green cards, sort of like this shock.
And perhaps some of them would get eaten up because, like, they're kind of relatively unnecessary cards.
Right.
So maybe they were hoping some of the surplus would get eaten up.
Right, yeah, exactly.
As it went on, yeah.
Exactly. I guess sort of what they kind of forgot about, overlooked, was they, you know, that SBC for the actual green card, where you could get a guaranteed green card. They actually made it so for a couple of hours that if you did that SBC, turn that in, and then you opened up the pack, that you get a random card. Like, it could be any card. So that made some people rather upset on Twitter, but thankfully a lot of people recognized it early, and EA managed to fix it, but... and it's strange now.
Do you think do you think that caused the prices of the green cards to be, you know, because obviously the green cards weren't coming out of the packs at that point. Mm-hmm. Did that mean that obviously prices increased over that period, that they were out of packs more? Because you did see some of them go up to like 20k or something from about 12k. So
there's definitely a brief little pop up in the price of them, but there's also, and then like immediately following that though, because people were like, okay, now these cards are going to be useless unless there's an SBC requirement. They dropped all the way down. I think they're at 9.3 right now. I think they discarded 8K. I could be making that up, but...
Okay. So, in terms of... Do you see any SBCs using them again? I wonder.
Well, I mean, maybe. It might be worth picking one up. It's just... That is... For me, that's kind of a lot of coins to just be holding around at this point in the year, because there are so many things that, you know, coming up that there's the potential that you could be investing in. And I don't want it to, you know, I don't want to encourage people to do it because it could turn into another November situation. So I wouldn't recommend going all out and filling a transfer list. Maybe pick up one or two. But other than that, don't.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, definitely. Because it's interesting, though, a couple of the green cards have, like, really held value. Like, some of the silver greens, maybe just because they're people want them for, like, a cool silver team or whatever, are actually, like, a little bit more expensive than you'd imagine. I think Judge, I don't know, I checked this yesterday, but Judge, I think he plays in the championship. De Silva, attacking midfielder. He doesn't look amazing, but he's got okay stats. He was going for like 18k even after it was done. So I'm sure there are a few novelty cards that will hold the value a little bit. Cool, so that's St. Patrick's Day wrapped up. You got any kind of final comments on that? What would you give it as a rating out of 10 for an EA promotion?
I thought it was a good one. It was tough because the direct reward for the Pot of Gold SBCs was coins, and people could very easily calculate if they made or lost coins. So I think that discouraged a lot of people from redoing the SBCs. Maybe if they had added in some sort of pack or some sort of reward that wasn't necessarily as easy to calculate the reward from, people would have been more incentivized to do the SBC over and over again. But I think it was sort of appropriate given that it was the St. Patrick's Day thing and the theme with gold. So I gave it an 8 out of 10. It was pretty fun. Brought the hype.
Okay. Not bad. I was wondering, actually, I know we're about to move on, but I wondered whether this was a way for EA to, like, essentially do some market balancing if they were able to kind of directly decide how many coins were coming out over the period.
Could be.
They could actually, like,
I'm sure they've got kind of switches and toggles back there that they could adjust if they really needed to.
Yeah, exactly. So I wonder whether there was some of that going on just to make sure that they've got the market intact going into Foot Birthday.
Mm. Great transition.
Yeah, I love that. So obviously Foot Birthday has been the talk of the town this week. I mean, obviously we haven't actually had any celebration of Foot Birthday yet. And this is as of, I guess Thursday, but is it likely that anything happens this evening? I think it's unlikely, but you're thinking possibly something on Friday, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of theories going around. We're still waiting for EA to show up to their surprise party that apparently they don't know that we're throwing for them, so... the original thought was that it was going to come on Monday, and then it was going to be on Tuesday, and then it was going to be on Wednesday. There's a multitude of reasons that we thought it was going to come, just in general. I think the strongest evidence for it still coming on Friday is the fact that the Irish offline tournament is ending on Friday. Maybe they're waiting till Friday to, combine the promotion with the weekend. Obviously, that would probably align with their incentives better in terms of if they are going to run promotional packs, it'd probably make more sense to do it on the weekend. Other than that, they also had Microsoft and then the Sony store, they had the there's a banner that said 8 years of, celebrating 8 years of building your ultimate team. So obviously they are somehow celebrating it. They are marketing it in some way, whether or not that's going to translate to an actual promotional event in game where we're going to see added content in the form of SBCs or a batch of cards is a totally different story, but that all remains to be seen. I think we can unfortunately relatively confidently say at this point that it's very likely we're not going to see a Team of the Week SBC, because if they were going to announce it to me would have made more sense to announce it on Wednesday. Unless there's something going on behind the scenes where maybe there was some sort of technical bug. Because I really do think that, that thing that the advertisement that they had on the Sony and Microsoft store was a strong indication, has always been linked with another promotion. I have a sort of a feeling that there might have been some sort of technical bug, but that's just a wild theory of mine, tinfoil hat kind of thing.
And then if you're suggesting a technical bug, that could suggest something that they perhaps... we haven't seen before, or something a bit different, I suppose.
Right, yeah, which could be interesting. I know you had an interesting theory about that, right?
Yeah. Wait, what was my interesting theory?
You're interesting about the generations mode?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. So I'd seen a few people tweeting out about possible generations mode, a bit like we had the World Cup mode, which was like a mode within the game, which wasn't actually affecting Ultimate Team itself, although you did get coin prizes, which you could use. And that was completely separate. Like, you wouldn't be able to use any of your teams from within... FIFA 14 it was then, in Foot 14, just the players that you pulled within that mode. So yeah, some thoughts that there might be some kind of generations thing coming because the banner said 8 years of Foot building your ultimate team it was. Right. So I don't know, I think that's a reading into it too much, especially as having spoken to some devs in the past how difficult it is to apparently license these things. Think about it, your players are playing for clubs that they haven't played for in like 5-10 years, if it's that kind of length of time, they've got to kind of talk to both the club and the player about whether they're willing to have their badge on that player and and all that kind of stuff. It's an absolute nightmare. It's fine in the web app where you can see your generation's teams because you can't do anything with it. It's just like basically pictures of old games,
right,
as far as anyone's concerned. So yeah, I think it's interesting. I don't think it's going to be that, but it'd be cool if it was. I think that'd be really fun.
For sure. Yeah, but I guess in terms of just overall, I know there's a lot of investors who are sort of not exactly happy right now. The thing, if you have sort of done the blanket investing that we've been talking about, where you know, you're picking up discard informs and 81 cheap 81 through 85 rated players, unfortunately, you probably missed out on a little bit of an opportunity to sell into the hype yesterday, Wednesday. But that doesn't mean that we're never going to see a Team of the Week SBC ever again. And that also doesn't mean that those types of cards are never going to be required in an SBC again. So panic selling probably isn't the way to go, especially if you bought them for cheap and you can afford to be holding that sort of volume of investment in your club. If you didn't know what to do, or you do choose to liquidate heading into a potential FUT birthday, if that is going to happen, you know, if they do release a major SBC or any sort of promotion, we could see a pretty... You know, there's been grumblings of a market crash, I guess you could call it that. There's, you know, one thing that I always say is anytime there's an SBC, if people are going to do the SBC and there's a high incentive to do the SBC, especially if it's an untradeable player that people are turning in value for, then that's going to mean that buying power is going to go down. So if you do anticipate that, or you think that they're still going to do FUT birthday, it might be worth being liquid. And if you are liquid right now and you don't necessarily want a hole burning in your pocket, if I may, I would like to share a little sort of investing / trading tip that's actually become really useful recently. And it has to do with the high demand informs and, man of the match cards, any sort of special card really, that is not the highest rated version of that card. So, for example, I'll give you three examples. You could do the 86-rated Man of the Match Sun, you could do the 87-rated Nainggolan, and you could do the 88-rated Dybala. What happens with those types of cards is, obviously you can't search for those cards specifically because it's just not an option on the transfer market unless you go on the concept squad, and even then you can't snipe them, if you will. There's enormous fluctuations, and there's prices because it's just such an inefficient market, and there's not as many people watching it because they're not the highest rated inform. So what you can do, and what I've been doing over the past couple of days, is I make a spreadsheet of players like that, and I keep track of their prices, and going beyond what their fluctuations are on pricing websites like FUTBIN, which only give you averages, I sort of look at what they go for on bid, what the lowest possible they could go for, not just the average for the hour. And what I do is I basically just buy them low and sell them high. And it's at times it's stupidly easy if you could win them on bid. I've had times where I've, for example, just this morning, I woke up to realizing that I won a Dybala 75K under what he was going for on bid. I just turned around, listed him back up, and he insta-sold. And just like that, I come away with 40K profit or something like that. So it takes a bit of work and it takes a lot of monitoring the market, but just like any trading method, I think that's something you have to do to get the rewards.
So yeah, no, that's a really, really good method, actually. Something that, wouldn't have picked up on myself. So that's why you're here. but on that note, I think it's actually time to finish off and say goodbye.
All right, cool. I guess before I go, I wanted to congratulate you guys real quick on, I think I saw over on Twitter, you guys hit 1,000 followers. Pretty cool milestone.
Yeah, we have actually, yeah. So we've got something to celebrate, even if EA don't.
That's awesome.
Oh, and also, really cool. What Twitter following on are you on now? Are you above 15 now?
I actually just rolled 17K, which is kind of a crazy milestone for me because that's actually the size of my university. It's like thinking about that, like being the...
that is crazy, yeah. It's really good. And so, actually, it's an interesting point because I was going to ask you about this. Do you find you can't actually sort of, I guess, say, oh, buy this player anymore, I guess?
Yeah, with that sort of following, obviously other people have larger followings and have to be even more careful, someone like, Bateson or Pentez or something like that. But I make sure, and I've actually sort of been doing this for a while, where I make sure not to tweet out a specific player, say, hey, this guy's price is way too low. or like this specific discard in form is way too low. Because, you know, what that would do is just everyone would go out and buy it. And honestly, I think that's something that's, you know, really tough for new accounts that are sort of like coming up and, you know, gaining following and gaining attention for the work that they're doing. Because they do sort of have to make this transition from, you know, making specific advice recommendations to sort of general sweeping market advice. Because if they don't, what happens is their own advice starts to not work because it essentially, right, exactly. And then, you know, if they don't adapt, they get accused of running essentially a pump and dump scheme, is what I call it, where, you know, they basically buy the investment, they tweet it out, and then everyone goes and buys it, and then they can sell at their sort of artificially created profit. And unfortunately, whether they mean to do it or not, they are profiting at the community's expense, which is unfortunate. But, you know, it's just something to, you know, be aware of. And,
yeah, I mean, I don't know about you, but it certainly seems like something that EA have, I don't know, I get the impression they're keen to kind of crack down on this kind of thing or make it difficult for people like this to be successful, you know, really change up the requirements for SBCs,
right.
Keep people guessing, seems to be working right. Quite well at the moment,
yeah.
I'd say.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there definitely is an aspect from EA where, I mean, you saw it with the fact that they had just encrypted the Team of the Week leaks. So we're no longer going to be getting Team of the Week leaks anymore, which I think is a great move. But that's definitely a move for the average FUT player, if you will, because, you know, with especially with one-to-watch trading, people getting that information early was a huge advantage. That just sort of speaks to the, you know, broader concept of them wanting to have a community-focused, market experience for everyone.
Yeah, interesting little side issue to end our chat on.
Yeah, after that little tangent, I guess we can actually wrap it up for real now.
Finally we can. So thanks very much for joining me.
All right, cool.
See you next week.
Later.
Well, then there was one. It's just me, just Ben, to take you through the team of the week and give you a player of the week, or perhaps it could be an informed impression. I haven't actually quite decided yet, but before I get started, just quickly to say, this isn't normally how it would work. Normally Horace is here and we go through it together and we give our player of the week and we give our informed impression each. So if you're listening to this for the first time, just bear with me and we'll resume normal service next week. But hopefully I do okay. Right, let's start off with the team of the week. So obviously headline act, Lukaku, absolute tank. I mean, his pace, physical, shooting combined with very solid dribbling and actually quite decent passing will make him one of the better players, no doubt. I think the other thing about him is maybe to say is his agility isn't that great. I think it's about 72, but once he's going in a straight line, you're not going to be able to stop him at all. The strength and pace he's going to have on most defenders if you go with something like Hunter. The other sort of really standout player who's not your big player, he's a big player in other ways, Lionel Messi, obviously denied a team of the week, as we discussed on this pod a week before that. Jamie particularly unhappy about that, and yeah, it is strange because he got two goals and he's in the team of the week this week, whereas he got two goals and assists before, actually two assists I think it was, two goals, two assists. But yeah, this card looks obviously amazing. I mean, all the Messi special cards, and in fact it's not in form, also are really, really good and a cut above most players. But on to another player who also probably shouldn't be in this team of the week, Kevin De Bruyne. He got one assist in a 1-1 draw, wasn't it? Liverpool-Manchester City. And I don't know. That is puzzling. But this is why a lot of people are suggesting that things are gonna happen, if you know what I mean, because they've stacked this team of the week with players who perhaps don't deserve it. So yeah, De Bruyne in there. I mean, what does it say about De Bruyne? He's a strong player. He's pretty quick. And yeah. Phenomenal at shooting and good passing and dribbling. So, yeah, you'll have fun with him. Good long shots. Just outrageously expensive, though. 720k if he was in any other league, another nation. He would not be quite that pricey. A player who's not quite so pricey, but actually one higher rated, is Diego Godin. Obviously, the reason he's not quite so pricey is because of that 68 pace. That being said, a very solid player, 77 passing and 74 dribbling on a guy with 93 defending and 89 physical, looks very good. And also, the other thing to say about this team of the week is that actually some of the defensive players do look quite strong and quite interesting. You've got Berkey in there. Berkey plays for Dortmund, which means he gets a strong link to Sokratis, and Sokratis is a player who struggles for strong links, and, well, in the goalkeeper area anyway, he's been the best strong link goalkeeper, and that is certainly an important card in that sense, although he's not going to be amazing. He's not particularly tall, and his stats don't look outstanding. Crescito in defence looks really good, obviously not phenomenal and not what he used to be, but with the triple 80 across pace, defending and physical, he looks good. 81 passing, plus I guess with Shadow you could get his pace decently high, although I was looking at it and he doesn't look that great. And also now with Alexandro, you don't really need to hybrid in Crescito into your Calcio Serie A teams. Moving on to three attacking players who are kind of slightly lower rated than the ones we discussed before. Modeste, who I've used his previous inform, and he was really, really good. If you can deal with three-star weak foot and three-star skills, which, as you know, I can't really, he is a player that you'd want to try. Something like Engine, boosting those weaker stats, attacking stats, pace, dribbling, and passing, and leaving his 89 shooting as is, should do him do really well with him, I think. And if you try him out, he's one of those players I'd be really interested to know how people get on. Relatively cheap, probably around 50k, maybe a bit more on PlayStation. I should say, yeah, the price I mentioned so far have been on Xbox. Apologies. Pastore looks really good. Someone I might chat a bit more about, but actually, do you know what? I'll just speak a little bit more about him now, because he does look good, but he looks kind of similar to Benega last week. Like, his defensive stats are okay. He's got okay physicality. His stamina's not amazing, just under 80. His pace isn't great, but in terms of shooting, dribbling, and passing, he's obviously outstanding. And if you can use a player like that in your team and he fits in your system, he's a player I'd recommend, especially with his height. Can cause people problems. He does have a low balancer, and I'm finding that increasingly a problem with certain players, especially legends for some reason. But yeah, we'll move on to Cuadrado. Now, I've used Cuadrado's other right mid card, the 85, other inform card, the 85, and he was good, but I didn't feel like he was outstanding. There are some interesting boosts across there, like his shooting boost is going to be quite significant in terms of finishing, and then his physical boost is also quite significant. So I think overall he should be quite a good card to pick up if you've got his, if you've enjoyed his other inform, then maybe pick this up, because he had, as I was saying, he does have 79 finishing, which, you know, is much more significant if you use something like Sniper. But yeah, not bad. I'd say the other player that I'd want to pick out from the bench, well, there's a couple of players, but the two that kind of really stand out are Gomez, who's third in form, striker, Argentinian, and plays for Atlanta. And then the other Calcio or Serie A player is Insigne. And Insigne, obviously, everyone knows about Insigne, just phenomenal dribbling, phenomenal pace, horrible to play against, and to be honest, the same with Gomez, but Gomez is a central player. Gomez, interestingly, is still slightly cheaper, which is somewhat surprising, because you would have thought central players, especially with most people playing more narrow formations, would be more popular. So I would say Gomez is a good shout for someone if you're looking to build a team around a player from this week. I'd personally look at Gomez. He looks quality, and having used him a few times in drafts and stuff, he looks, not this particular card, he does feel very good on the ball and in that central area. With increased stamina as well, he could start to come into his own now. A few players that are worth mentioning. There are three 81 rated cards in this team of the week, and all of them actually look quite decent. So you've got Roland, who's a striker for Bordeaux, Uruguayan, so strong link to Cavani, if that interests you. He does actually have four-star skills, and he's got decent shooting and dribbling. He's okay for the strength, okay pace at 80. So he's one of those players that could be good in if you're looking for pick up your first inform. Mbappe Alotin, obviously Monaco striker, people will know a lot about because he's featured heavily in the Champions League in terms of his goal scoring. Looks decent, but three-star weak for three-star skills again. Obviously good pace at 85, but I don't know, doesn't scream by me. And also 31k actually seems a little bit more than maybe you'd want to pay. Another guy I'm pretty interested in, because I've used his card on previous FIFAs and he's been very good, is Ignacio Scocco. He's really interesting because, actually, with Hunter, he looks a really, really strong card. So if we just run through a few of his stats, bear in mind this is an 11k player playing in the Argentinian league. So, and oh yeah, should also mention there are quite a few other cheap Argentinian informs that you could sort of combine him with. So 97 acceleration with Hunter, 91 sprint speed, 90 finishing, 99 shot power, 91 long shots, 99 volleys, and 99 positioning, as well as 95 penalties. So the shooting is phenomenal for a player of that level. 84 agility, 88 balance, both of those things will make him very good on the ball. 82 dribbling, 85 ball control are pretty solid. Decent short passing, sort of averaging 80 across the passing stats actually there. With a casual 95 curve as standard and 95 free kick accuracy. And then he's got 81 jumping as well, 78 stamina and 84 aggression and 74 strength, which should actually feel quite good. So between those, you're looking at a very good player. And then he's got finesse shot trait. So obviously, as you know, big fan of that. Flair as well, tries to be defensive line and long shot taker. So a couple of stats, which could really serve you quite well. I think he's a player that, you know, looking to build a novelty team, he could well be your man. Another player who's kind of not a novelty card because he's in the Bundesliga, but he is Austrian. He's a player that I've used quite a bit for some reason at the beginning of the game. He's not in form. Hunusovic. I don't know. He's one of those weird players that I don't see him in teams. I don't kind of come across him on a regular basis for some reason, but has really strong stats and stats which would suggest a good player for this game. If you look at him with even basic, he looks really good. 74 strength, which is a good starting point for a smallish midfielder. 99 stamina, which you can't really go wrong with. 76 jumping, 85 aggression. And then you look at his pace, 86 acceleration, 79 sprint speed, not bad. Okay, so maybe he's weaker in other areas. Not really. 95 agility, 94 balance, 80 reactions, 88 ball control, 85 dribbling. So 87 dribbling, that's an average of across that. And that this is for just a central midfielder who actually has decent defending stats. 79 interceptions, 78 marking, 79 standing tackle, and 73 sliding tackle. The other reason why this guy is good, and a lot of people might not realise this, he actually has 92 free kick accuracy and 98 curve. So I think you could probably catch a few people out with his free kick taking abilities. He's also got 91 shot power and 87 long shots. So yeah, can definitely shoot. And again, a player that I don't think many people will expect you to shoot with. So he's also got 78 finishing and 87 volleys, 82 penalties. His other sort of passing stats are decent, or they could boost them a bit more with another chem style, 87 short passing and 86 long passing. So yeah, that all looks quite good. In terms of traits, we've got corner specialist, which is what he actually does, technical dribbler, which obviously makes him feel really good on the ball, and then finesse style free kick, so you can really curl it into the net. So yeah, that's I think my very quick, well actually it wasn't that quick in the end, was it, team of the week rundown. Some really, well, interesting cards in there and some really good ones as well. So hopefully we see some kind of way of packing these players through a SBC or something like that. That would be nice. But if not, well, good luck when you open your rewards, if you already have. I hope they went well. And it's time to move on to a quick review. So yeah, we move from one Bundesliga midfielder to another Bundesliga midfielder. This is actually the man of the match, Goretzka. And I apologise if you're probably Polish and I've pronounced that wrong. Goretzka isn't Polish, he's actually German, which is of course slightly easier to link up than if he was Polish. So the good thing about Goretzka is he's one of those players that's really well rounded, and you can kind of use a chem style to make him whatever you want him to be, if that kind of makes sense. So what I've done with him, because I was using him in a defensive role as one of two CDMs, I've actually put Anchor on him, which might be a bit of overkill, and in fact maybe it's better off boosting his passing, but I'll run through some of the stats that he gets using Anchor. And it's worth noting, before I continue with it, he is 6'2" and has 4-star weak foot and 3-star skills, which is, you know, pretty ideal. So 88 acceleration, 91 sprint speed, I mean, no complaints, that is really, really good for a central midfielder who's 6'2". 78 agility as well, so that is very good for a guy that tall. 82 ball control, 81 dribbling, 82 reactions, 74 balance, so fairly solid there. And then, I mean, where he really excels is obviously that pace, and then the physical, 94 aggression, 80 strength, 87 stamina. Stamina could be higher. 80 jumping, 87 interceptions for defence, 84 heading accuracy, which is solid, 81 marking, 88 standing tackle, and 89 sliding tackle. His shooting, despite not being great on card, is actually okay, because he's got 82 shot power and 81 long shots, 79 positioning, and 6-9 finishing isn't great, but you could boost that a bit more if you were playing him a bit further forward. And then short passing, 84, 79 long passing, free kicks kind of irrelevant actually, it's kind of average, and then 79 vision. So yeah, the stats are good. The only thing I'd say about him is he's got medium work rate, which is kind of good because his stamina doesn't get drained too much, but something about high players just is that much better. And although then again, that being said, he doesn't sort of overcommit. And I found him really phenomenal on the ball, despite not boosting his dribbling. He kind of surprised a few people, I think, in terms of beating them and then carrying the ball forward. The only thing, I guess, in his favour in terms of traits is flair, because the other traits got his injury prone, which, you know, I mean, you can't really complain, to be honest, with flair. It's nice to have, and, you know, even if you're not using him that far forward, it's quite a nice thing to have. So, yeah, I've only used him, well, I say only, I've used him for 6 games or so, which is what a lot of YouTubers will think is the point at which to make your review. So he was very good in the games I've used him. I'd like to try him out a few other positions, I think, but maybe I'll come back to him at another point further down the line. But, yeah, basically, found him really good for driving the ball forward. So I had him and Nzonzi sitting in CDM positions in a 4-2-3-1-2. And what I found was that Nzonzi would sit a little bit, okay, occasionally push forward, but what Goretzka did was just kind of pick up the ball. If there was kind of no passing options on, he'd kind of push it into the space in front of him, had that strength to hold off a player if they tried to come get it off him, and also had the dribbling to kind of go around a man if he needed to. I think that caught a few people out, and then obviously he's got a decent long shot and did score a goal from outside the box with him. I suppose he's not a player that I've really heard mentioned much, and I think that does often help. People kind of underestimate the player, certainly expect to be able to beat him when they can't because of his pace and defensive ability. So yeah, I think, again, a really, really good player that perhaps you don't see enough, and one that I'd strongly suggest picking up. He's only 37k, I think, on Xbox at the moment, and this is at a time when he's shortly going out of packs, but at the same time, we're just heading into a weekend league. So I find it hard to believe he's going to stay that low when you consider what his card stats look like with that anchor. 90 pace, 81 dribbling, 85 defending, 85 physical, and 80 passing with 75 shooting. Not bad at all. So, yeah, look out for him. Oh, yeah, and he's just under 50k on PS4 as well, actually. Yeah, it does feel like we've reviewed a lot of Bundesliga midfielders recently, but he is pretty special. And it was interesting, the player that I was just thinking most reminds me of him, who's a sort of player that people may have used and is a lot more expensive, is actually Effenberg. Yeah, really quite similar players, obviously both German, but that's not why I'm saying that. The stat balance is actually quite similar, and did find them quite similar, and obviously the price is very different on the other hand, so worth a go with Goretzka if you want to see what Effenberg's like, or if you'd like a cheaper Effenberg. He's also a great option. And strong link to Boateng, of course. So if you're using him in one of those kind of top teams, he's going to be good for that. So yeah, apologies again, because we're probably going to end here, that we couldn't get a proper podcast with Horace. He sends his apologies, and so does Dan. So we'll look forward to hopefully having both of them next week. Thanks to everyone, actually, just to say, who follows us on Twitter. We just went over 1,000 followers, so that's really good to see. And also, just to kind of apologise for not having a full podcast out on a week when we reached a milestone. Anyone who would like to see me stream a few games on Twitch, I'll try and do it over the weekend. Just some weekend league games that I'll be playing. I'll try and commentate on it if I can and get that set up. Do keep an eye on our Twitter to be informed of when we're doing that. And well, I'll look forward to that, and hopefully we'll see you there. If not, have a good week, and I'll see you next week. Bye.